Good morning, friends and brethren. It's so very good to see you. I'm glad that you are here. Several visitors with us, especially, we're happy to see you. You know, there is nothing stable about water. Have you thought about that? I mean, it has no will of its own. Water cannot make a decision or a choice on its own, but it only goes in whatever direction it is forced to go. It will not lie flat in a bucket. And if you have water in a bucket and you take the bucket and you turn it, the water is going to come out. It doesn't stay in the bucket. Or, you know, if you had it filled all the way to the top and you carry that bucket, it's going to slosh out and get all over you. Water can't decide, I'm just going to stay in this bucket. It has no ability to be able to do that. Water does not lie flat in the ocean. In fact, I think that's part of what we like about it a lot of time. If you go to the beach, you want to see and you want to hear the waves. Well, it's not the water that's deciding. Let's look pretty and let's make some waves and make some sound. Water does not have the ability to do that at all. When the wind blows, the water rolls up and comes crashing in. Or the tides. What about the tides? You know, in some places the water goes out and 12 hours or so later it comes back in. Some places more than others. The Bay of Fundy, that's a big bay that kind of lies between New Brunswick and Nova Scotia. Well, that's an interesting place to see. We drove by one time and all we could see for miles were the mud flats. You could see because the water had gone out. And so when the tide goes out very rapidly for miles. And when the tide comes back very quickly. But the water had no say in that at all. It's a gravitational pull of the moon, I suppose, I hear, that does that. But the water doesn't do that on its own. You know, water will always travel the easiest route. I mean, even pouring it in a vessel. You know, if you have some kind of a pitcher that's kind of formed like that, well, that's what the water is going to do. It's not going to say, no, I want to stay straight inside there. It can't do that. Sandy Case has this pitcher that's the neatest thing. It kind of has like, it starts as one on the top and it goes to two sides and comes into one on the bottom. And every time I've seen she pours tea in that thing, you know, that tea goes on both sides, the water. It doesn't like say, no, I'm just going to go on the front side of that this time. It can't do that. Water has no will of its own. We go around here, last week we went and saw some waterfalls. You know, it's always water that falls. We never go see water ups. Water can't do that. It has no ability. Water falls. And so water just has no will of its own. It is influenced entirely by things other than itself. It's controlled by outside forces. Water is weak. If we want to be different than water, we are going to have to make a plan. Without a plan, life just happens. And we just flow with whatever direction life chooses to carry us in. The way of the world will carry us where we don't need to go. And many have been plagued with that kind of a problem. You think about a long time ago, Jacob and his prophecies concerning his sons. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 49. Well, one of his sons, his oldest son, Reuben, his firstborn, what he said about his son was, Reuben, you are unstable as water. You shall not succeed or excel. And he was saying that because he knew the character of his son. That his son could be moved different ways by different forces, that his own will was very weak. When we talk about something or someone that's stable, we're talking about something that is fixed, something that is steadfast, something that is not easily moved. But Reuben was easily moved by ungodly forces and did things he ought not. When he was tempted to commit adultery with one of his father's concubines, well, he did so. He was unable to resist that thought, those lusts, that temptation. Reuben couldn't be controlled by outward forces. He lacked self-control that comes from within. And because of his reputation, Jacob would easily predict that Reuben would not amount to much. Anyone who lacks self-control will not amount to much, but will be moved by the decision of others. And the influence of others will overpower decisions that one would make for themselves. So instability becomes a problem for many today. Even in the realm of religion, there's a lot of instability. It would seem that almost anything goes in the name of religion, and few question the decisions that are made by those who set the direction of their religions of choice. And it's amazing how many cannot give a reason for what they believe, but instead wait for someone to tell them what to believe. But now what the Bible tells us is that we should sanctify the Lord God always in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. That we should know what is the will of God and be able to respond to that, even defend what people ask us about such things. And so when issues and questions come up about what we believe, we need to be prepared to be able to answer that. Now, some subjects are kind of touchy. And no one wants to talk or discuss about some of the differences among religions. You know, baptism for the remission of sins. Some don't want to talk about that because they have their own process of faith or belief. Or maybe, you know, who is it that makes up the Lord's church? Oh, there's a lot of different ideas on things like that. Or in this day, talking about gender issues, well, that's a hot topic. And we can't just stand by as though Scripture says nothing about those things. No, we will have to have a will that moves us to the point of knowing and standing on whatever God says on these issues. And these are issues that sometimes members of the Lord's church are used to be, you know, make quick and definitive statements about based on faith. But I'm finding today that it seems to me that there are fewer and fewer who are prepared to defend the gospel, even among the Lord's church. Now, some people will agree with whomever they're talking about on religious subjects, even if the opinions that they express are where they have no scriptural basis. Many today would have no objections with women preaching or instrumental music or the use of how the treasury is used. I'm talking about members of the Lord's church on these issues. And yet, Scripture talks about all of those things. And many are without conviction when it comes to social issues. Social drinking, or gambling, or modesty. Lewd and lustful behavior and entertainment, things such as this. And some have never, it seems, developed their own faith. And young people particularly. And when they depart from home, they depart from truth. They never had a firm hold of truth themselves. You know, they go away to college or they marry, they move away, and all of a sudden what faith that we thought they had really wasn't there. Riding on the coattails of someone else's faith will not get us very far. Soon we'll fall off. Scripture speaks of those who doubt or who lack conviction, those who are weak in faith. Look with me, James chapter 1. We're looking at James chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Now see, what I want us to think about, and I want us to look at ourselves and to determine, like, how do we stand on issues we've mentioned or other things regarding what God says about who we should be, We can be strong, we can be stable, we can be firm in convictions based on what God says. Or the other side of that is, we have no convictions, not real convictions. Or that we have no will of our own, and we are just moved as the wind would blow, or as new doctrines come our way. Which will it be? Are we stable or are we unstable? Some people try to split between the world and God. That is, you know, one foot on this side, another on the other. No, that never has worked. If we do not have convictions founded in the Word, well, then we have nothing to stand on, and we will be unstable. We have to choose to take a position and to know where we will stand, or else we will be, as Scripture says, double-minded, unstable in our ways. Now, the contrast to that, the Bible is full of individuals who remained steadfast in trial. You think about Joseph. Joseph, the Bible story concerning him in Genesis chapter 39, Joseph withstood the enticement of sexual sin with Potiphar's wife. It was presented to him. It was right there. It would have been easy for him to fall to that. But it required great spiritual strength and determination to refuse the temptation. But Joseph loved God. You contrast that with his brother Reuben, we were just speaking about, who defiled his father's bed. The Lord showed mercy on Joseph, and in time he would receive blessings untold. Daniel. You think about Daniel. Daniel could not in good conscience eat the king's best food, knowing that this had been sacrificed to the idols of these gods. And so the text would say in Daniel 1 that he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. That gives us an indication of what he did, that there was a thought process here. He had to make a choice. He had to make a decision. It was a decision that took a lot of courage and willpower, you know, But here was the ability and here was the desire to make a stand for what God would want him to do, whatever the consequences might be. Daniel had some friends in the same book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were unwilling to bow down before these idols, before a false god. And we can only imagine the tremendous courage and resolve it would take to stand up to the king, to go against the king's wishes, because the king had the ability to take their heads, and he would at least try to do so. But it was their faith that gave them the ability to make a stand and to not fear the king. These men understood that they served a higher king. Stability comes through faith. Faith that is found through what God says. Faith that is found in His Word. What does God expect of us? What does He want us to do? God's Word urges stability. You remember 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's a passage that helps us to see that if we are to know the will of God, then we're going to have to work at that, to be diligent to study. And in doing so, we don't have to be ashamed, because if we know God's Word and if we make a stand on what it says and what God wants us to do, there's no shame to be found in that, particularly when we stand before God, when we have learned to rightly divide His Word. If we desire strength to overcome temptations of life, if we want to make a stand for issues that will make us stand out for God, where God knows, He sees we are on His side, that we are His people, then we need to understand that real stability comes through the Word of God. There's no place else that we can find that. Spiritual stability comes in no other way than through the study of God's Word. Scripture teaches us that we have to have a purpose, that we have to have a plan, a conviction, and that we have to stick to it. To be dependable and steadfast in both surroundings of security, and when we are under pressure to change, we are going to have to make a plan. And that plan would include standing where God wants us to stand. We're going to look at several passages. I want you to look with me. We are turning to the Psalms, the 57th Psalm. There's some wise words of David when it comes to how do we stand before God. It's a heart issue, really. David helps us to see that. The 57th Psalm, we begin at verse 4. I am in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, lest your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. What a contrast of those who can be so easily moved. Even as David looked around him, those who were the enemies of God were like lions that wished and wanted to destroy him, but he didn't move. He remained steadfast. David was a man who loved God, and though he was not without sin, he always returned to the solid and stable ground of God's Word. That's what held him. That's what kept him on the path he needed to walk. His heart was guided by the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Barnabas was sent out to preach in Antioch. Acts chapter 11, verse 22. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Okay, again, so Barnabas goes out preaching, and the effect of God's Word becomes evident here. Barnabas saw those who had seen the grace of God, that is, that they were in favor of God. It was with purpose of heart that indicates that they had put their whole heart into their service of God. They were serious about this. It was real. This is who they were. These are the ones who had turned to Him because they had been so convicted. And the admonition of Barnabas was that they continue with Him, fixed, steadfast, unmoved from faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul here in the chapter has spoken about the great blessings and hope that comes because of the resurrection of Christ. He's speaking to them about the victory in Christ and how we should respond to that. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Immovable. Now we're talking about stability, about not being moved from one way to the other. Now we have to get to work, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So busy and focused in the Lord's work that there's not time for other influences. We thought about that. That sometimes it's the other influence that overwhelm us. In part, it's because we're not spending enough time doing the things that God would want us to do. Not enough time in His Word. Not enough time meditating on things that He will use to help us build stability. What will we do? Look at Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. I hope that our prayer might sound like Paul's prayer. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Could that be our prayer? On those days when we are sitting down to pray and we are struggling with, what should we say? What should our prayer be? Turn to that passage. Read Paul's prayer. When we feel that we need some strength, when we feel that we are being challenged and we are being pulled one way and another, and that our feet are not as grounded as they should be, look at this prayer. Pray that Christ would dwell in our hearts and help us to be rooted and grounded in love. That we should leave no room for anything else is what verse 17 is saying. Let's just squeeze Satan out. To understand and be filled with the fullness and the greatness of God. Stability comes by being grounded in God's will and God's work, filled with the fullness of God, as the text would say. Then we can become a possessor of all that God offers. And Satan cannot easily move us. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. What a beautiful text that brings to our attention the purpose and the place of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable in His sight, if indeed you continue grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Look here. Christ has provided the means. The means was the body of His flesh through death. That is, He died for us. He has provided the means whereby we can stand before God whole and pure, complete, and we can stand before Him without blame. And what it requires of us is that we stay grounded, steadfast in faith. If our faith is not what it needs to be, if we are weak in faith, if our feet are not grounded, if we are easily moved by the will of men, pushed one way and pushed another, sooner or later we will be pushed far enough away from God that we'll forget completely and forget who we should be. In Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and at verse 9. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Okay, so we've stepped into the middle of a story here. But let's look at this point. Do not be carried away. This address to the Christians is a warning to be careful. To be carried away indicates being easily moved one way or another. The influences of sinful men will lead us away from Christ. Instead, our heart needs to be established by grace or by the favor of Christ. For those long ago, in the context of the passage, it may have been the influence of the regulations of the old law that was troubling them. That may be what was in the context here. But to us, so many other things can be applied. So many other things we deal with in life that can just carry us away. The influence of so many doctrines and religions, or simply the lack of godly consideration, makes it easy for Satan to come along and just kind of push us where he wants us to go. Many will want us to conform to the standards of men's ideas. But that has never been what God wants. It's like water being poured into a pitcher. And the water just conforms itself to whatever kind of vessel we pour it in. That's not who we are. We can't be like that. But instead, we have to be transformed so much so that we are no longer like the world. In Romans chapter 12, when Paul was talking about this transformation, in part at least, what he is saying is that there's a change that has to take place. That we become so changed that we don't look like the world we came out of. Verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Changed. Transformed from the world. We have to be opposite from the world. Christians have that which will save us. Christians have that which will change us. And we can have confidence in victory, even in a time and in a day where it may seem to us that there is little hope, or even at times when we think Satan is going to win, we don't have to think that way, and we shouldn't think that way. Because if God is on our side, which means we have to be standing with Him, there's nothing that Satan can do to destroy us. If our feet are planted firmly and grounded in what God wants us to do, where He expects us to stand, we have every reason to have hope and confidence of victory. The Apostle John said it this way, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." We can stand victorious, or we can stand on the side that's going to get washed away. We can stand on the side with Satan. How strong is your will? Where have you set your will? We can set it with God, or we can set it on the side of Satan. Where is it at? What will it be? We have the choice to make, even again today, how we will walk, how we will live this life. The Lord's coming again. It's a day that we don't have to dread. We don't have to fear. It's a day that we should be watching for. How will the Lord find us when He comes? If you become a child of God, do you walk with Him? Are you a Christian? Are you standing strong? Or are you struggling in faith? Do you need prayers of your brethren? Can we help you? Do you need to respond? Will you come as we stand and sing?